to Resettled Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities.
And bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
So you are listening to Planet FM 104.6. It's a Resettled Radio, and we are going to be talking about the World War II remembrance, and we will be talking more about how trauma works. Oh, we do have two people who are new here.
Hi. Sorry, me being awful and laughing at something else. I'm not laughing at World War II, I promise. Sorry.
What's up?
Oh, that's Alika. Alika, introduce yourself though.
Yo, I was here last week, but I'm Alika. I go to Auckland Uni. I'm 19 now because I had my birthday last week, so what's up?
And that's Ciara.
I'm the other one. Hi.
This year, she's cool.
Oh, thank you. At least one person thinks so.
you know that on the morning I was like listening to one of the radio New Zealand, and I was like, oh, right, so what song that I can listen to? And then I went through something today that, you know, that we recently had World War II Remembrance Day in November 11th. And I was like, oh, what is unique about, you know, resettled refugee communities or resettled communities with, you know, World War? And we thought about war is very common between, you know, resettled communities and you know, and us as, you know, the history itself. Because I heard that the World War, you know, I was reading, because back in my country, back in my school days, I read through the history books, and I had, you know, noted that the United Nations was formed after World War II, right? This is the first, you know, see first fact, United Nations opened up.
Ooh,
and
do we get
was
points?
Established. We get points.
United Nations, yes. I'm keeping track.
Right, so UN was established after World War II, and it was after 1945, right? And which is one of the major institutions who established peace around the world and contributed by bringing all the nations together and stop the war and prevent conflict between each other, and solve by just talking and solve everything by itself. So let's listen to, you know, a short brief about what has happened during World War, and that will give us a good knowledge for today, right? I think that it's a good story, because I was watching it, and I found that it's very useful, you know, for yourself to listen to, right? And do listen to this part of the story.
The war in Europe began in September 1939 when Nazi Germany under Adolf Hitler invaded Poland. Using blitzkrieg tactics, the country was quickly overtaken. The world was shocked. Britain and France responded by declaring war on Germany, but took little action. This became known as the Phony War. But in 1940, German offensives rapidly defeated Denmark, Norway, Belgium, the Netherlands, and France. The British Army, meanwhile, was on the retreat, being evacuated from Dunkirk. Britain, alone, was attacked by Germany during the Battle of Britain and the Blitz. However, the Luftwaffe failed to defeat the RAF. In June 1941, Hitler invaded Russia under the codename Operation Barbarossa, and in December 1941, the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, bringing the USA into the war. Germany, Italy, and Japan formed the Axis powers, while Britain, Russia, and the USA made up the major combatants on the Allied side. In 1942, the Nazis implemented their final solution, a plan to exterminate all Jewish people. Critical battles followed that would dramatically change the course of the war. These were Midway in the Pacific Theater, June 1942, El Alamein in Egypt, November 1942, and Stalingrad in Russia, January 1943. On June 6, 1944, D-Day, the Allies launched Operation Overlord, invading Normandy, France. The Red Army advanced in the east and was the first to reach the German capital of Berlin. Germany surrendered in May 1945, shortly after Adolf Hitler committed suicide. On 6th of August 1945, the Americans dropped an atomic bomb on Hiroshima. Japan surrendered on VJ Day, 15th of August 1945. The war was over. World War II lasted from 1939 to 1945 and remains the most geographically widespread military conflict the world has ever seen. Subscribe to see more fun history videos. Get your copy of Simple History, World War II, out today.
I love the plug at the end. That was perfect.
It was. And you are listening to Resettle Radio. It's 104.6 and it's produced by AICC. It's out through our Resettle Community Coalition. Today we started up talking about World War and we had went through a short brief about it. The World War was between 1939 to 1945. Mm. And it was worse than the World War I because that's what Alika said.
Yeah.
It was worse than, do you know how many people have died?
Oh, millions. I mean, if you just think about the Holocaust itself, like just thinking about those numbers, I think it was like 6 million Jews were estimated to have died in those
died
camps.
In the Holocaust.
Yeah. So you just think about that, and then times it by God knows how many more who are actually on the front lines.
It was calculated between 50 to 85 million people have died during World War II, and it's the most devastated war in the Holocaust history. Right, and we still have conflict of war. We still have, you know, more trauma, more loss, more human loss just by continuing war all over the years. Even though we do have United Nations, we still have to acknowledge what has happening around the world because you have know the recent Syrian war. We have, you know, conflict between Afghanistan. We also had back in my country, you know, where I was from, you know, from Sri Lanka, we had a war ended in 2009. And it was a war for 36 years, right? And you know, these things are still happening. And moreover, the problem or the conflict is, you know, it's still reduced to a level, but the problem is still happening, right? And as a next generation, as a young person, I still question how we're going to establish peace. How we're going to, you know, make sure that we don't have a conflict of war. What could be the loss of war? Because, you know, the question is, you know, as a resettled community, that we came across a lot of trauma just by being innocent civilians who were in the middle of the conflict, who just been there just because we were residing there, not just because we were involved in war. We didn't fought for war. We were there because we were residing in the country and we were belonged to that ethnicity. And the focus of rebellion and the focus of war and conflict was, you know, a spark of having disproportionate understanding, the spark of not being able to solve things by, you know, talking or having a passive resistance or having passive and non-violent protest. Because I do see, you know, back in my country, we do remember, his name is called Lieutenant Colonel Tilleben. And we used to call him, why? Because we call him as a, you know, biggest commander in the rebellion. Why? Because he was one of the reason for, you know, having a passive movement. Because he did protest for more than 120 days, right? And he haven't ate anything, he haven't drank anything, and he lived to the death, and he died. Right? Because he wanted to remove the Indian army from Sri Lanka back to India. And the sad thing is about it is that his protest was very longer and his, you know, hunger strike was, you know, pretty shorter, but it affected him a lot. And it affected our younger people to see there's a need for violence because non-violent protests are not working. That's how rebellion has grown into a biggest number. That's led to a biggest war and biggest human loss. We lost more than 150,000 people onto the war in 2009, right? And this is something that we always look forward to, you know, and always remember because we still have Remembrance Days every year during May 2009. Every year during May, every people around the world who are Tamils, they come together and remember the day. I still say that it's a collision between World War II because World War II have major event that has happened, right? Because, you know, when we watch the brief, you know, brief history of the World War II. We happened to go across, you know, the attack of, you know, the Pearl Harbor. We also talked about, you know, the Holocaust, right? And we also had, you know, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, right? Because of the nuclear wars, right? That was the full stop of end of the war, because, you know, the nuclear war led the entire world to think that, oh, we are being too much. Because we are killing in one single war, we can kill billions of people, right? It was very easier to, you know, create a nuclear war. We still have possession of nuclear weapons, though. Be honest, right? We have nuclear weapons on our hands. And the question of the future is still on our hands, right? Oh, we got, is it in here? Is it in? How are you, man? What's happening? What's happening? Have you had fun? Right? You know,
what's
have up? You? So Isadine is just arrived and he's here. And we were asking, oh, have you had fun, Isadine?
Yeah, I just come from dancing, so.
Yeah, it was fun.
Exciting.
Yeah. But you know, the schools are having their, you know, their exams now. So he was at school, so yeah. I was asking what was happening.
What year are you in?
I'm year 13.
Oh.
So, yeah. And going to uni next year.
What uni?
AUT.
AUT, yeah.
Right, so, you know, we got AUT people here.
I open uni.
Yeah, yeah. Why, then why are you excited for AUT?
Nah,
AUT is
the, like, lit A. It's pretty cool. It's
lit.
We are not marketing for AUT.
Nah, this is not sponsored.
AUT, please pay us up.
Sponsoring you now.
Yeah, right. So we are talking about how World War II and, you know, what has happened, because, you know, we had a Remembrance Day in November 11th and the relationship between World War and the war itself, right, and to, you know, to us as a research community, you know, how would we be able to call it with trauma? Because, you know, you also come from Israel, you also come from, you know, a country that went through conflict and war, and even internal conflicts, you know, and what are your thoughts about trauma, and how would you be able to recover through trauma? And do you think that it's good to have a Remembrance Day to remember what has happened, or it's better to move on?
I think it's better to move on. You don't want to remember, like, what the bad things that happened, and because... I don't know. I've been to a war as well, so, like, I've been shot 3 times, and I don't want to, like, go back and talk about it, because I'm just going to make my brain...
It's even, you know, very difficult to, you know, conceive what was the trauma that was happening, right? Even, I think that some of you have even shared some of the part of the war, right? And
well, I, just from my perspective, I think... Because I'm coming from this from an angle of someone who was born and raised in New Zealand, I've never seen any sort of conflict or anything like that. And I think that it can be very tempting for people like me to think, oh, it's over now. Like, this was in the past, we've had our wars, everything's okay, we don't need to worry. So I feel like it is actually really important to hear stories like yours and to hear about World War II and to have those remembrance days, because more so than just learning it in a classroom, we see those graves and we see the survivors and people's families and things like that, and so it's a lot more real, I think, in a way. You know, I don't know, just for me personally, I feel like that's, it has its place, a Remembrance Day. I mean, it's maybe it's not perfect and it can bring the a lot of those personal negative aspects to light, but I think it's also important for those who didn't experience that or anything similar, you know.
Yeah, and I think that having a Remembrance Day is, you know, is good enough to make sure that we don't forget, right, what has happened. Because if you do forget what has happened, we're always gonna do that again.
Well,
right?
Exactly,
we have
yeah.
to prevent, you know, what was happened, because 85 million people dying is not easy, right? And teaching our younger generation, especially younger generation, because I do see that that's very lacking during, you know, the World War II Remembrance Day, that most of us really focus on writing in letters and writing in things. But younger generations are more innovative. They are becoming more social media focused, right? I really wanted to see how social media could be used in teaching younger generation about World War, right? Because World War, you know, even one or two, both of them give a good lesson for us to see not to create an armed conflict and solve your conflict, solve the problem by talking and make things life better, Because it's not easy just to say, all right, I'm going to just bomb a place because I have a conflict with them. It's better to just have a discussion, right, and develop that understanding. But back in my country, the situation was very wrong for, you know, us to have a, you know, that's what very good with the younger generation, because we are becoming more literate. We can understand a lot. We read a lot, and we could be able to empathize with people, with each other. But if you do have illiteracy and if you have very low understanding, it's really harder to, you know, encourage them to talk to each other. Back in my country, the problem was that even students who striked, right, because they said our rights were abused, and the people who are in power, they are not looking after the people. They are not looking after the people's rights. And that disproportionately affecting the my ethnic minorities back in my country. And one of the students, I told you, know, different Colonel Philippe, and he took over and he said that our students and our generation, our people, do not forget where we come from and whatever heritage is, whatever culture is, whatever identity is. We are being abused in this country, and no longer we not going to be sitting at the chair and looking at our people being abused and be disproportionately affected because of things that decided by the government itself. And having that considered mind is very important. And he stood up, and he stood up for non-violent purpose, you know, protest. And he never did anything that caused a violent protest, right? And that was very unique to myself to see, you know, why would that there was a need for war? If one political leader have listened to him, we would have had entire generation right now looking at race reconciliation and thought about building a race relationship with each other and building the country together. Because my country is a very small country, right? You know, Sri Lanka is a very small country below India. We don't have to internally have a conflict with each other, right? We just need to respect each other and understand each other and understand each other, right? Right? And, you know, I still carry a lot of trauma and a lot of war that's, you know, back in my country. Even if Sedin does have, you know, the war affects us for a generation, right? The only thing our, you know, our community does is the Remembrance Day in May. You know, May, you know, every year during May, we remember those people and we, you know, put a celebration. And it's not a celebration, it's kind of a Remembrance Day. We go in and then, you know, make a handle and then remember those people who were lost during that war, right? And telling those family who have lost family members that you don't need to worry, that the entire community is with you, right? And I really want it to happen to other communities as well. You know, the other ethnic majority, they also have to remember it, you know, because it's not loss of ourselves. There will be some families that were lost on the other side as well. And there, it should be both parties doing so, right? It's not just one party is doing so. And other party recognizing the importance of their remembrance is very important, right? Even say, you know, this, yeah, World War II was occupied because between Italy and Germany and with Japan. And I really wanted to see how Italy and Germany and all other countries holding out the Remembrance Day together in a one way in the UN and say we all together is remembering people who has been lost. And we never going to let these things happen again. And making sure we abandon our nuclear weapons and think about not increasing our power, think about increasing the prioritized peace around the world. I think that that's good to be talking, you know, and I think that I'm just pressurizing everyone that who are listening.
It's a heavy topic, too. It's
a very intense topic, to be honest, you know. We're even making you guys laugh just because we don't want you guys to feel bad, or if someone was listening really going through a war, it might be really intense to them, right? So I don't want them to just panic. So if you're listening, just keep listening and just remember that we are with you. You know, even ARCC could be someone that we can even pop in and have a chat with. If you have youth ambassadors, if you're a young person who went through something, you know, just make sure you talk about it, right? And remember that people are loving you. You are being loved. And there is no shame or no stigma around sharing who you are, right? So pretty much there. And we are talking, and this is Ali Keshiara and Isadine is here.
Yo, what's up?
Right, so we can listen to, you know, a bit of a song, and then we will be back, right? And hope that the song never make you cry. Hope so.
By who?
It's by Vera Lynn, so see you guys on. Listen to the music.
We'll again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know, tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
So we are back out of the song, and you know, the song is like really old, but you know, it does have a very unique thing after the World War, and they started doing that for to remember soldiers in the war, right? The thing that we are has been talking about is World War II, because we had a Remembrance Day on November 11th, and we also say, you know, some facts about war. The war was happening in 1939 to 1945. It has included Holocaust, the Pearl Harbor attack, and you know, and bringing of, you know, even Nazis, even Adolf Hitler, who suicided himself, and even the Hiroshima Nagasaki, right, the nuclear bomb blast. So we has been talking about why was the war and how war has affected lives. So right now we're going to be talking about, you know, what you can do if you came across war, right? If you have, you know, families or grandfathers, you know, and or great-great-grandfather who has been in war and you've still been affected by war, how you can recover from it. Because, you know, it's something that people don't talk about more often. Because people do say, it's my Remembrance Day, it's my unique day. But the question is that, you know, how will you be able to, you know, recover from what has happened? Which is important to see how recovery from trauma works. You know that the WGSO reporting that more than 80% who lives in Middle Eastern right now has been affected by or involved in conflict or war, right? And it's between 20 countries in Middle Eastern. Right, Middle Eastern region, and between the 20 countries, there are 80% of the war people who are involved in the war are traumatized. Right, this was reported by World Health Organization. Right, and this is very important even for resettled community, because if you are listening and you are from resettled communities, and you do know that you came across war, and you wanted to know how we can recover from it. Right, so we do have speakers here, so we can ask Ciara, what do you think, you know, how we can recover from trauma?
Well, I think because it's such a loaded question, I mean, the obvious kind of answer is just whatever works for you. But I think going more in depth, I think a lot of people can have a tendency to want to ignore trauma, to want to bury, you know, that darkness and hide it away and be like, okay, if I don't think about it, it's not going to affect me. If I can just put it in this little box and throw away the key, then it's good. I'm done. But I feel like the main thing is, without me saying, okay, do this, you know, this is going to make you feel better, just make sure that you at least acknowledge the trauma. You know, maybe acknowledge the source of it, acknowledge why it has caused these feelings in you, and acknowledge that maybe, yes, you do need to do something to kind of help yourself. You know, I think that's really the first step, is just making sure that you understand your feelings and understand that you need to take that next step.
Yeah, well, see, that's a good speech. Yeah.
Thanks, I have it written on my hand.
Right. So the first thing that is acknowledging that you does have, you know, the loss of war has affected you. Have that feeling of acknowledgement is very important to you yourself to recover, because if you don't know where you are at, it's not easy for yourself to see where I'm gonna be at.
Oh, exactly. Right. Yeah, and you know, it can be tempting to maybe find anger or resentment in those feelings of darkness, you know, to feel alone and all of that. But I think it takes just that last extra bit of strength to just realize, okay, I need help, and there are people I can reach out to, there are things I can be doing, you know, I shouldn't give up on myself now. Yeah.
And what about Isadine? What do you think about, you know, do we have, because, you know, Ciara have talked about that we just need to acknowledge and talk about trauma and, you know, be able to, you know that we have that feeling of being affected by war. But the question is that, do you think that we still have, you know, inclusive spaces to talk about it? Because, you know, having a space that included you and also acknowledged that you can share and being comfortable to share, do you think that we still have space for it?
Yeah, I think we do. Like places like Mixer, like how you said, ARCC can help. Like when I came to New Zealand, I just left war zone, and it was really hard for me even at school. Like I was getting into fights and I was really violent. But when I start going to Mixer, they just everything changed, because like sometimes you just need to find something that makes you happy, and you can just forget about things just like that. I didn't forget the war part, but it's just I don't think about it that much. Because, like, I dance and I write poem about it, and I share with people, and people really listen and, like, give you feedbacks. That really helps. So, yeah.
Do you have a poem, though? Do you have a poem on the hand?
Yeah, I have some of my...
Yeah, you can, you know, we would love to listen, you know, because I do see that how poetry, you know, is something that can be a tool. You know, yeah. Even arts, as he said, you know, Mixit is a refugee youth arts, or, you know, kind of arts, drama, performance.
Yeah, any kind of creative expression.
Right, any kind of creative expression will help you to just, you know, ease yourself to do something that you like to do, and you focusing your loss and your trauma into something that you like to do, and that will, you know, reduce your pressure. Because, you know, most often that's happened between race and the community is, you know, we came across not being able to, you know, express ourselves, you know. Can you share the poems that you have? It would be, like, very nice to, you know, listen to it.
Ooh, I'm going to have you up. Go, you can do it.
You can do it, yeah.
When I was about 5 years old, my life was the best. Later in life, I had to give happiness a rest. Life started throwing obstacles. It was if I was living a test. See, I had family and everything that kid everybody wanted to be. My family had a little connection that kind of helped us become more wealthy. But then that one night, something no one accepted. He broke out of prison. Buildings started burning. Family was separated. All we ever wanted was to keep peace. I lost many friends. I hope to see them in the future. Life is short. See, people just throw it away, but me and my family been fighting to stay. We have done nothing but good, trying to stay alive. If I was going to tell you a story that how I'm still alive, I used to say I have nothing to lose until I lost my two brothers and a father. Once he said, no one is supposed to be in our life forever. Life is just like money comes and goes. I have lived my mother longed for change. My mother land for change. I had to run away from my motherland to survive. There was no food to eat, but I'm still alive. A struggle will change your life. I had to go through a struggle to stay alive. So that was just a little bit of it. So.
Wow, that was like amazing. That was like really good too, you know. I think that you have a great, you know, great talent, you know. Be honest, like you had to write a lot of poems. You know? And, you know, I honestly feel, if I'm someone who was listening on the other side, I really feel that it meant to me, to my heart. And it's also feel if you are, you know, out of your war, you just could have, you know, went through how trauma works, you know. Don't worry about that, you know, things has happened to, you know, a lot of reasons. And it's not your fault that you were in the middle, right? Just always think that there is people who are around you who can support you, right? And remember that ARCC is a good place for yourself to just go there and just talk to them or empathize with them or, you know, share your feelings with that. Because it's very important for you to express what you feel. Don't hide yourself somewhere, because if you hide yourself somewhere, it will be expressed in a way that you're never going to be, you know, expected to. Mm-hmm. Because that happened to me as well. When I was in uni in my first year, and I was transitioning from, you know, from my trauma and from my background of being in war, you know, being in conflict. And when I has been transitioning, I always ask myself, you know, where I am heading to, what value that what has happened was added to myself. And I felt that it made me who I am today, right? Because it does contribute, all the experience that you have in your life, it does contribute to who you are as identity. If you don't acknowledge that what has happened, if you don't remember and also express what has happened, or not being able to talk about it, it's making you not being able to be yourself, right? You have to be yourself. You have to, you know, you cannot hide yourself from anything. You have to be yourself, then you can achieve a lot in life, right? So be yourself. You know, if you find something that is still troubling you, is come out of the war, the loss of war and loss of life, you know, you might have lost some person in life or a family member back in war, just remember that there's people who can support you. That's very important, right? And what else that we could do to, you know, reduce trauma, right? How we can recover from trauma. So what else that we can do? Like, let's put to, you know, the speakers, you know, how, what do you think, Ciara? What do you think that we can do, you know? Well, it can be anything. It can be your nature, or it can be, you know, spending time with family, or thinking about something that's creative, that's good, you know, say we can do that.
Yeah, well, I found for me personally, I mean, I've not been in wars or anything like that, but, you know, I suppose we all have our own issues and our own things that we've been through. And I feel like, I don't know, for me personally, I found great comfort in the company of others. I mean, some people may prefer to be alone. Some people may just prefer to do things on their own. But, I mean, I found that being with others, even if I wasn't talking about it, I just not feeling alone, because you can get very, it's so tempting to get lost in your own head. And having others with you, you know, other people to talk to, other people to just hang with can help a lot, you know, just knowing that you're not alone.
Yeah, and having friends is very important, right? Because I used to say, you know, whatever I was struggling with, friends is very important for yourself to, you know, open up with, right? And, you know, that's something, like, even with, you know, Alika that I has been, you know, you're talking to because you are my friend, you know, and...
you're my friend.
yeah, because I just share with friends. I'm just sharing the tips. Right, so, you know, so... It was, you know, I could open up with the people that I'm being comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being comfortable is, you know, just get into that social cycle, you know. Just be there and talk to people, right? There is people who are really nice. You don't even know of, right? You can be, you know, you can be so nice. And be there and talk to them and be open to them so that, you know, allow them to your space. Because, you know, don't constrict yourself. Because I used to see a lot of students from a refugee background or even with, you know, resettled communities, that most often that we don't want to share about it or don't want to talk about it. Talk about it, right? Talk about the problem. Because if you don't talk about what's happening in your life, you cannot solve it, right? And I do see friends is a good idea, right? And, yeah, and Alika, just share us that what do you think, how we can recover from trauma?
Well, I don't know about, like, war trauma, but, like, because I started uni, like, this year, I am fortunate enough to have, like, really, like, supportive parents, and like I would never talk to them in high school, but like this year they're like more supportive, especially my dad. And yeah, just like talking about it, even your parents, I'm an only child, but like, yeah, they're like, they're there for you even though you don't know it. So
yeah, families are important. Yeah, even family members could support each other, right? And being able to, you know, supported by a family member, it just contributes to a lot, even if you are a normal person, right? Because now I know that, you know, it a matter of fact that understanding that there was, you know, a struggle of war impacting your life, but the family members are together. Because I, you know, I came out of my country, you know, with my mom and my sister, and you know, we were like under 18, and you know, and I still see my mom, you know, because, you know, they separate women and, you know, guys and women, and they consider me as, you know, grown up, and they have to separate me. And I just went off, and it was one time that I was at the shore and my sister had to take on the boat, and I was crying because, you know, I can't leave them because they are my family, and, you know, I was alone. Right, it was not easy to be alone and just get on the boat. Mm-hmm. And the boat journey was like 45 to 1 hour to get into the middle of the sea, because you know they had to transport us in the biggest boat. And when they were transporting us, you know, I was like sitting in the corner of the boat, and I was, you know, so wet because, you know, I have to go into the sea to get on the boat, and it was like a, you know, a wooden boat. And I got on the board and I was still wet, and I was still crying and seeing, you know, why would I need to leave the land that I born with? Because, you know, I have a lot of friends there, and I had relatives there, I had people I know of, right, people I live with, you know, people, you know, even the air that I breathe in, right, I still feel that's my homeland, that's the land that I born on. Why do I need to live on? Because people used to have the stigma around resettler community or human refugee community is that they come for better life. We don't come for better life. Just be honest that war has torn us apart. But we don't come for better life. We come for life that we wanted to live. Because, you know, back in the countries, you cannot live, right? Think about living in the middle of the war. It's not easy. Middle of the conflict, it's not easy, right? Remember that it's a lot to recover from it and a lot of occupation to it. It takes time to recover, right? And I know we pressurize everyone here, and we made it sound so sad.
No, yes. I love it. It makes me like, it deepens our friendship. I'm going to send you like a long message tonight. I'm going to be like, I love you, Yovi. I appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
Guy's amazing, guys. Like, what? He's so underrated. I was texting Kiara last night, yeah, and I said, oh man, this guy's so underrated. This guy needs more recognition in life.
What? No.
I'm serious.
Yeah. Right? She's just a big
someone
over.
Sent me flowers.
Yeah, and if you are someone who's listening, you know, even if you are someone, you know, who went through something, or if you are even someone who haven't been through something, just do one thing, is invite someone that you know that they went through something. Mm-hmm. Even talk to ARCC and find someone who was from resettled communities and who came out of the war. Do one thing for that, for Remembrance Day. If you are someone who have came across the World War families and connect with the current war families, because that's what I really wanted to do, because both of them have experienced the reality of trauma, right? It would be way better if those two families could combine and empathize and have a chat, right? Have a talk with each other. I would feel better if a family from World War II come in and say, you know, I was a survivor from the Holocaust and I know how it is felt. And he said, even if it has been years, I still have those memories because my great-grandfather or my great-great-grandfather have instructed me or told me that this was a story of life, being in a camp and being jailed and being killed by people, right? Killed by Nazi during 1949, between 1941 to 1945. All right, so we just talk a lot, and we just listen to, you know, a good song, and I think that this is a good song back from my country, and we happen to, you know, listen to that song just because it makes us feel that, you know, remember the need for homeland. Right, remember that there is always a disparity, but we always wanted to go back to, you know, our homeland and perceive the land that we left in. So these songs will heal you, and the songs will give you a lot of attention to what my life was.
Oh, நாங்கள் உங்களை தேடி சென்னையிலேருந்து வந்திருக்கோம். வெளியே மதிப்பு இல்லாத ஒரு பொருளை கொண்டு வந்திருக்கோம்.
உங்க பொண்ணை கூட்டிட்டு வந்திருக்கோம். அமுதா அம்மா,
இந்த மகளுக்கு இந்த வயசு தான் இருக்கும்.
இதுவும் உங்க மகதான்?
இல்ல, இது எந்த மகள் இல்ல,
இது உங்க குழந்தைதான். நாங்க தத்தெடுத்து வளர்த்தோம்.
அம்மா, இவளுக்கு சொல்லுங்க அம்மா, இது எந்த குழந்தை இல்லை. இந்த
நீங்க மாங்குளம் ஷியாமா இல்லையா?
நான் ஷியாமா தான், இது மாங்குளம் தான். ஆனா நான் இந்த பிள்ளை இந்த தாய் இல்ல. என் பிள்ளை ஒரு வெளியே புதிச்சிருக்கு, போற சும்மர தடியில.
நீங்க இந்தியா வந்தது இல்லையா? ராமேஸ்வரத்துல புள்ள பேத்துக்கலையா?
மாங்குளத்தை விட்டு, இந்த பாவப்பட்ட கிராமத்தை விட்டு நான் எங்கேயுமே வெளியே போன. எல்லாத்தையுமே விட்டுட்டு நாங்கள் போறோம்.
சென்றாலும் சுதந்திரம் வருமா? கண் திறந்த தேசம்
So, you know, sorry, you are back on Results Radio, and it's 104.6, and it's produced by ARCC. Story is out through our Resettled Community Coalition. So, you has been listening to this song. The story was very simple. It was about, you know, back in my country, they made a movie about the mother who adopted her daughter to someone from India. And the daughter was grown up, and she went back to find her mother back in Sri Lanka, and the mother was telling her that, you know, you are not my daughter, just because I don't want her to have the life that I'm having now, because everyone are being internally displaced during the time. It was a very relative story during 1999. Right after 1999, the conflict was very much, you know, increased, and people were internally displaced from one to the other, because they didn't have the option to, you know, travel to other countries. Only some people can afford to travel to other country and seek asylum. Other people, they can't travel. See how many people who has been internally displaced was like millions, right? And we only could be able to, you know, resettle only few people, because only few people can get into a third world country and then get and seek for asylum. Most people were in between or being internally displaced, right? You know, the one of the countries who was internally displaced more was Colombia, right? And I was like, oh, this is huge. Why that Colombia does have, you know, internal displaced? Because internal conflicts were higher, and they don't have, you know, they don't have options to move around places, and they don't have options to cross the borders, and they have to be internally displaced. And that's the story of, you know, World War II, you know, and we have been talking about how you recover from World War and what you can do to, you know, remove your trauma. We said, all right, you know, having friends, you know, having to be able to express yourself, and, you know, also be able to use medium, right? Use poems, dramas, you know, writing, even write about it. It's pretty good if you write about it or talk about it, right? Could help you to heal. So what do you guys think about, what do you guys think that do we have an inclusive space for us to, you know, speak or, you know, show or express about war or what has happened back in, you know, ourselves, or express ourselves? Do we have that inclusive space? Have you guys been to, you know, any sort of inclusive space that you have seen that people can talk about? You know, it doesn't need to be about war. It can be even about trauma in general.
Yeah, I mean, I, like you were saying, I don't think there are any specifically geared towards war and specifically geared towards young people. Like, you do have the RSA and, for, you know, returning soldiers, which is more sort of geared towards older people and for the specific world wars and things like that. So there might be younger people who feel that they don't have a space that they can go to because they don't feel that they belong in these sort of organizations, even though they may have gone through similar traumas. So I think just kind of finding, you know, there are definitely a lot of different places that you can reach out to. I think you mentioned before Youthline. That's one that I know about. You can give them a call for free or text, and they've just got people there all the time, and you can just have a chat. You know, you can be anonymous if you're not feeling comfortable with talking to someone in person, and, you know, you can just have a chat and you can kind of get it out of your system if you want to. I don't know the specific names of any of places that you can go to in person, but I'm sure there are.
Yeah, so even, you know, even for resettler community, we do have RANs, even ARCC does have even their counseling services.
And Ryan.
Yeah, even Ryan. And we do have places that you can really reach to. But the question of expressing yourself is getting comfortable with it, right? Comfortable talking to each other. Because you remember, Celine, that when we had a leadership camp last year,
yeah.
You know, at first people, you know, every single, you know, refugee background, they would find it so hard to talk about it. And when, you know, we started, you know, me, Zine, and, you know, Titi and Chawan, we started sharing our stories. Everyone started sharing theirs, right? It was so beautiful that how everyone, like 47 people, had shared their own stories about how they, you know, came to New Zealand, how their parents came to New Zealand, and recognizing, you know, what their values were. I felt like, well, this is a space that needed to be, right? And it's very few, be honest, like, we don't have the properly well-organized well-being group. We do have individual counseling services, but we still lack that well-being group. So, you know, it's just normal, you know, younger people just come together and just talk about, you know, their life of stories and just talk about what has happened, right? And I really feel that that's something that, you know, even, you know, ARCC could do it and create that space that, you know, from youth ambassadors and say, we hold that one day place, you know, one day in a week that you can just pop in and just talk about, you know, what has happened. It might be during the month or during the day. It kind of like, even if it is a funny story that you wanted to share, be honest. Like, we really wanted to share your funny story. Right? So, you know, if you're someone that you wanted to talk to me or Isarin, you know, you can find us anywhere. And, you know, even you can go to RCC and find us, right? And we will be happy to talk to you. You know, we are so young people. Just don't worry. We are not old. I don't have too much beard, right?
I shaved mine, so we're good.
You can even talk to Shiara and Alika as well, because, you know, they're also someone who also be able to just talk to people, and they will be open to, you know, talk to anyone who came across trauma in general, right? And even Isarin is a good, you know, even Isarin is a good student leader, and, you know, he has been doing a lot of work, and you could talk to, you know, you can watch us, how funny we are on ECN,
yeah, Joe. I'll just entertain you, you know, dancing or anything.
We don't bite. Right, if you're a parent, just, you know, just listening to it, yeah, don't hit me. Don't chase me when you see me. Because I'm talking in the...
Because I think you're biting the children.
No, I'm biting the children.
Yobi just wants the autograph. There's a $5 fee if you want. I'm kidding.
You're going to be my personal assistant, though. You're not getting that $5 piece.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, guys, you got to like pay up before you buy this guy.
Good manager.
Yeah. Why not? You know, why not? Why not? You know, future is, you know, limitless. Sky is limitless, right? Don't bury yourself, you know? And you could be...
YOLO!
Yes.
Yeah, you only live once, guys.
Right, and just be happy. That's what, you know, very important to get yourself around trauma. You know, we even were singing song when we were on the car, right?
So yeah,
it was very good idea to do car karaoke. If you want to do some car karaoke, you know, with us, just
carpool,
let us know.
Karaoke.
Oh my god, we're gonna make that a thing now.
No, but guys, life is so good. Like, I went into uni this year thinking I'd have no friends, and look where I am now. I have like Yobi.
You've got
me.
Two.
Yeah, I have like two friends instead of one. Hi, mom. That was my other friend.
Yo, that's so sweet. You know, if I'm your mother, I would be like, oh, Talika is so sweet. Why not she is at home? She's so terrible at home.
No, she low-key always wants me to clean my room, and I'm like, mom, no.
That happened to
me. I'm kidding.
As well.
I love you, mom. Can you please buy me my new album?
Right. So,
if you sell enough of Joby's autographs, you'll be able to get it yourself.
What?
I love Yobi.
Thank you for the love. Right, so just remember that, you know, having friends, having this group, you know, having someone together is, you know, it just helps you a lot to be yourself.
Yeah.
Right? You know, that's what very important to remove yourself from trauma. So we have been talking about who knows about history. So I'm going to ask history questions.
Oh, no.
Oh, trivia. Oh, yes.
Right? See, I knew we were going to have points. Okay.
Yeah. Let's do it. So who think that, what were the two sides were involved in World War II?
Oh, God. The Allies and the Axis powers.
Allies and the Axis.
I know nothing about anything, so
isn't
I'm really
it,
proud of myself.
Isn't it America, Britain, and there's another one.
Don't look at me.
France.
That's it's the Soviet Union.
I should know this.
So USSR. Right?
No,
so
but
USSR.
That was World War I.
No, World War II. That they had SSSR, USSR, right? Which is U.S. and Britain, and then Soviet Union.
I hope my history teacher's not listening to this.
And the other group. Who is the other group? Ah, Isarin. Isarin, do you know the other group were involved in World War II?
No.
You don't?
No. Me.
Just guess as well. Guess. So who was involved in Pearl Harbor fight?
I don't know.
Japan.
You know that Japan, they bombed Japan. The Pearl Harbor site in U.S. That sparked the U.S. to join the war.
I never did history before, so you're asking.
That's cool. I don't know much either.
It's Japan, Germany, and Italy.
I only know that because you said it before.
Yeah.
And remember the cruel leader that we still remember of. Who is the cruel leader of Nazi? What is his name?
Shall not be named.
Yeah. We all know who he is. We just don't want to.
We just don't want to name it.
Yeah.
Who is there?
Made of Schmittler.
Yeah.
Oh, I got it.
Yes, a mustache.
Right,
was the mustache actually necessary or nah?
I don't know. It's kind of a unique. It's kind of a fashion statement, maybe.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, it was a medical condition.
But he killed himself, you know, and you know, he killed himself, you know, at 1945, you know, and that's something that, you know, contributed to United Nations being formed and the entire Nazis were defeated, right, and having, you know, the, you know, peace being established around the world. And, you know, the one of the biggest event that we still remember is Holocaust. So do you know that who was, you know, genocided, you know, who was killed in Holocaust?
Well, it was actually multiple groups, but I mean, obviously the main group that was sort of targeted by the Nazi regime was the Jews, you know, Jewish people. And then, of course, you know, homosexuals you had, and then people with disabilities as well were targeted to an extent, just because they weren't really considered useful and things like that. So, but yeah, obviously the main thing that everyone thinks of, for good reason, is people of the Jewish religion, and ethnicity,
And this is a good answer. So, next question. So, when was the United Nations was established? Do you know when?
1948.
Yeah, it was 1948.
Come on, nice. Come on.
It was in 1948 that they established the United Nations across everything, right? And you still know that you know, even in New Zealand, some of the part of the people were involved in World War II, and some of them were from islanders, you know, some of them were from Maori background, and even from India there was Sikh communities and Indian communities. They were mostly participating war under Britain itself. Right, and Britain included all the colonized lands to be occupied in World War. Right, and was like very curious to know about, you know, there are very specific people from specific ethnic communities. They were also put their effort for World War and to prevent Nazis being occupying it. So the next question, do you know what was the first country that Nazis was attacked? So Nazis attacked the first country that sparked the entire allies formation.
I feel so uneducated doing this. I feel like I know them, and then I'm on the spot, and I'm like,
is
brain.
It somewhere from Europe?
It's Poland. Oh. So Poland is the first refugees came to New Zealand from Poland. So that's how, you know, Poland was the first country to be attacked by Nazis. Oh. And that sparked the entire allies to form together and to prevent it. So first people who were involved were French, right, who just put them together, their forces, and they started, you know, preventing Nazis from moving in, right, across Germany to, you know, Britain. So they were preventing it, but they even the Dunkirk. Remember the movie that we watched?
Right? Dunkirk?
Dunkirk, right? So, so Dunkirk is also involved in that, right? So it's pretty much over there. So we are just closing up to the timeline, so it's 5:47. So
I love you guys. If you need anyone to talk to, I'm here. Like,
yeah,
honestly.
So you do have all the people here that you can talk to, like, and you can get in contact through ARCC. Just remember that, you know, people are there to listen to you. Remember to make friends,
you're not
talk
alone.
About it.
I promise.
And use creative arts, right? And that's very important. Do you guys have any messages that you want to share?
Yeah, my mom wants me to give a shout out to my cousin. hi, wait, I need to video this. Okay, hi, Ate. I know you're working at Netflix now, so congratulations on your new job. Okay, anyways, can you give me a discount?
Can we get a discount?
What's Netflix Philippines? I don't know, but hopefully, yay.
But don't uni students get discount already?
Double discount.
Right. All right. So we can go back to listening the song. And thank you guys for listening
today.
Thank
you.
And
it's just be amazing and be there. And, you know, see you guys next time, next week.
Yeah. I love you guys. Bye.
You.
Have fun
take
with the
care.
Song.
Just listen to the song.
Yesterday, I finally found the missing part of me. I felt so close, but you were far away. left me without anything to say. Now I'm speechless, over the edge, I'm just breathless. I never thought that I'd catch this love bug again. Hopeless, head over heels in the moment. I never thought that I'd get hit by this love bug again.